Welcome to the Authentically Successful Show After Hours, where my co-host Rob Swimer and I share our two cents on hot topics in the business world. Rob is a veteran sales leader in high tech, best-selling author, resilience coach, and speaker. And I'm your host, Carol Schultz, longtime professional recruiter and executive coach, the creator of talent-centric organizations, and also a best-selling author. Combined, we have 70 years of experience in this world. So let's get into it.
Hey, Carol. How's it going?
Good, Rob. How are you?
Good. So this is our first episode of After Hours with you. I can't wait to get started and talk about some of the current events that are happening in the world today in business.
Yeah, me too.
And, you know, first and foremost, I saw this article in the Wall Street Journal recently about performance reviews this year and how they're going to bite a bit more than usual. Yeah. So everybody needs to be ready. Businesses are squeezing now to make sure people are really on the top of their game. Coming out of COVID, that's a huge thing. You know, we all led with empathy. We rotated for that, obviously, because people were struggling and doing their thing. But I know you read the article, too. I'm really interested in your insight because, well, you're looking at over three decades in HR. You've got a lot of expertise in this. So, hey, take it off and tell us what you think about this. Oh, by the way, I'm not sure what's going on with the eye, Carol, but, you know, we know business today is a bit dicey, but what happened to your eye?
Well, I had a fist fight with my stallion over the weekend and he won.
So, they usually do.
Yeah, they usually do. I have to say it was my fault, though, that it happened. So I'm walking around with a major shiner.
So. I just thought maybe you had some rough business deals over the week.
Yeah, if only. anyway, yeah, this Wall Street Journal article was really interesting, and you know, as you pointed out, it's all about how performance reviews are going to bite this year, and I got to tell you that, in my 30 years of experience around, you know, talent acquisition, the people that know me and helping CEOs build better organizations, my advice is to never do annual reviews. and it's really? Been that way for a very, very long time, right?
Yeah.
Annual reviews are really ineffective, in my opinion, and based on my experience, because they wait all the way 12 months and then you get hit with all the crap and get beat up or, you know, get accolades, right? And I'll never forget that the first search firm, well, first and only search firm that I worked for that trained me, which is how you and I met over 30 years ago. They would wait until they had, five or six things to, you know, talk to me about. And then they'd bring me into the office, the two owners, and I always felt miserable. And I would always say to them, why do you wait this long to come talk to me? This is early in my career. I was making a million mistakes. I was just, you know, an a-hole. And, you know, I didn't know how to talk to people. I hadn't been trained how to do that yet. By the way, they never gave me that training. I had to go elsewhere for it. But it just was ineffective, right? So I advise now that companies really, at a minimum, should do them quarterly. Right. And some people are probably thinking, oh gosh, that's a lot of work. Well, it is, but you know, nip the problems in the bud.
Yeah. No, I agree. I couldn't agree more. And I think people are starving for feedback. We see that in the trade rags now, all the articles about, you know, the number one complaint from employees is I don't get enough feedback from my manager.
Yeah.
So talk about that.
Well, you know, I think part of it has to do with, as you know, and some of our listeners will know for me, I'm a huge advocate of building what I call a culture of feedback, right?
Yeah.
And a culture of feedback that's really why this is not happening, because companies do not have this culture of feedback, right? So for those who don't know, in its simplest form, a culture of feedback is being able to, I can say anything to somebody below me, to the side of me, or above me without fear of somehow getting thrown under a bus or any kind of negative repercussions, right?
Right.
And it has to be generated by the CEO.
It's got to be a top-down. It's a culture thing,
That's right?
This is a culture of trust. And yep. All high-performance teams, right, whether they're in business, sports, military, we know this from all our research that trust is actually higher than skill in some cases.
Well, there's no question. I mean, studies have shown that north of 50% of people leave a job within the first 18 months for reasons having nothing to do with their skills or abilities.
Right.
Right. So what does that leave?
Right.
The trust, the culture, how we interact with each other. And ultimately, you know, when that CEO has to generate that, who's to start, you know, he or she must say, listen, this is what I'm committed to. Not what I want to do, but what I'm committed to. All right. Because we know there's a big difference between want and commitment. Right. Commitment means you're going to keep going and going and going in the face of no or things not working out. Right. It's easy to keep going when things are going along just swimming.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So CEO has to really verbalize his or her commitment to what this looks like and not just say, well, this is what we're going to do and here's what it looks like. But you have to continually do it. Show your employees before they're actually really even going to believe you.
I completely agree. You know, you're talking about the certainty muscle, right? I talk about that a lot in my speeches and my book as well. And that's really important is to, you know, to have that certainty that you need, right? When things aren't going well, you still know it's going to happen. And that's the key. And that's what you're talking about. And I think it's really a cool thing. So I want to be a little provocative here because this is after hours. And I really want to ask you to double down on how can leadership do these kinds of things without ruining the culture? How can they do a review? How can they have the bite, if you will, but not alienate the employees?
Right. Well, of course, step one we've already talked about is a culture of feedback, right? So within that culture of feedback, it's not just about being able to say anything to anyone below, to the side, or above. It's how you say it, right? So we've had this conversation. The lowest common denominator, and I would invite anyone to challenge me on this. The lowest common denominator of any company's success or failure is how they communicate.
Yep.
Okay. They, you know, your engineers can't build a product without proper communication. Your salespeople cannot go out and sell whatever they're selling without the proper communication, understanding how or why they're doing what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is really looking at your performance reviews. They have to be specific and measurable, right? So we've both read articles. I'm sure everybody listening to this has read articles about how employees are getting laid off and then they're not letting them. Well, what do you mean? My manager said I was doing great, or, well, you were doing really well, but you know, you weren't sharing. I read something, you know, he wasn't sharing and helping his teammates enough. And I thought, is he omniscient? Should he just sort of know that? So it's imperative. I cannot stress enough that when you take a job, it's got to be down in writing. This is what we expect of you. Okay. So, you know, back in the day when I was still doing search work, one of the things I would do for my clients when they retained me and we were looking for people is we would build a competency model. Right.
Yeah.
So for how many ever competencies there was maybe five different competencies. And below each of those, there were several different ways that they would be fulfilled.
Yeah.
Right. And in each competency, we would rate them 1 to 5 from the interview. Right. So 5 being best, 1 being worst. So and also low, medium or high importance to do the job successfully.
Right.
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 And what that is that is then a guide to help us either in the performance review or to really build out what is expected of you to achieve what level of performance.
Absolutely. And by doing that, that's repeatable, it's measurable, right? And it's very deliberate, right?
Right.
And you can track that progress for both parties, both management and the employees.
Right.
Yeah.
So you were in sales for 40 years.
Yeah. I got a little gray from that.
Yeah, well, I guess in 10 years, I'll be a little more gray.
There you go.
I'll be caught up to you. So my question is, if you look back over on your career, right? And you were in software sales. Anybody who knows this, who knows you would know this. Look back on your own performance reviews from your up aboves, and then those that you gave out to your people. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. And, you know, and I keep saying that I think this is what this is all about between you and I, is to be a little provocative and to really dive into some of the emotions around this. And
that's right.
Certainly I came from the software business, as you know, and I was very young when I got in. So similar to your story, right? I was making mistakes on a minute by minute basis. I learned on the street of sales. I did not get that that purebred sort of first job at IBM, or I didn't have that Xerox back then, right, for all the sales training. So I made a lot of mistakes, and I learned on the street, I always say, and you know that about me. And I think the biggest thing for me is I never felt like I got enough feedback from managers, because they didn't know how to do that. There wasn't any inherent instinctual ability to do feedback. And now we know it is coaching and the GROW model, and there's all kinds of different things that we do, right? There's all science around it now. But back then, it was very curt. It was very informal. And, I think from my perspective, way back in the day, there was very little learning when I got the reviews or the feedback. It was more talking at me and talking about the things I wasn't doing well versus a couple of things I might have been doing actually pretty good. Let's capitalize on that. So, I learned the hard way coming up, and which got me ready for leadership later on in life. Built that muscle that I needed to really have that empathy and that servant leadership that I really led with, as you know, in my career. And I think that if you turn the tables, I was horrible at feedback when I was an early manager. I was a VP of sales at 27, as you know. I think you might even place me in that job. I don't even know. But I'll tell you that, me giving feedback at 27 years old is a lot different than me giving feedback at 60.
Right.
And it's the obvious that everybody probably understands. But how you give feedback is so, so important. And what I learned through my four decades is that you have to do that feedback with empathy and with learning, and you have to have emotions around that. And there has to be an ability to tell them what they're doing right and what you like about what they're doing and what they gravitate toward their success. So they can have that momentum and build upon that. And then they come out with a higher purpose, which is all about that, right? That meeting should be positive at the end, even though you're giving feedback. And I always thought, it's feedback, it's a review, but it's really, for me, it was mentoring and coaching. That's the mindset that I had as a leader. I wanted to go in as a mentor and a coach, not a manager giving a review, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And that's actually a really interesting sort of kind of a point of view on that. And I think, as I'm sitting here listening to you, I'm interested in your opinion. Forget about, even if there is a culture of feedback, right? And we've built it, what may still stand in the way of a manager being able to really give that feedback in an objective way?
I love that question. So there's a couple of things that just popped into my we didn't do any rehearsing on this, right?
This is the best part about
this. This is all just, I love this. That's what it's all about, right?
So, other than the topic,
right. So there's two things that pop into my mind. One is that we need to make sure that the empathy is there and that we see that, right? And that's really, really, really important. And I think that overall, managers have to be in the right state themselves. So there's a couple of things that, you know where I was going. You know me well enough. So there's a couple of things going on here. I'm going to get real passionate, because this is about the state you're in as a manager, but it's also about maybe some biases that you have to be aware of. And, we're trained and taught about different biases. They could be geographic biases, all kinds of different biases that are going on. And we know that. So you've got to keep that in check as a leader. It's really, really important. But here's the cool thing. If you're in the right state as a leader, meaning you're using the right language that's positive and it's thought-provoking, and you're focused on the right things. You're focused on the future, and you're not living in the past, and you're not negative. And then you have that physiology where a leader has a physiology where you have certainty and you are certain about where that company's going, where your team's going. All this stuff is so much easier, you know, and that's all that triad that I teach. And you know, I teach that in my practice and all my talks is the focus, language, and physiology. It has to be there. And that's where the disconnect is. If the leader is not in the right state, you know what? The employee is not going to be in the right state. It all comes full circle.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Well, of course it does. And you know, ultimately, I think what I'm hearing from you, and please correct me if I'm, you know, coming out of left field, is being in the right space really has to do with what kind of, really, if you've discovered some of those blind spots that are keeping you, that are preventing you, right? You know, somebody maybe grew up in a home where they were either highly criticized or they were told not to criticize.
Right.
So,
right.
And, you know, each human being would take that and do something different with it, right? But, you know, as what typically happens is most of these types of things happen when we're kids. And we subconsciously think, uh-oh, something's wrong.
Yep.
And we change our way of being around that particular subject, right?
Yeah.
So I think that often, and really what we're talking about, it's what's getting in the way, regardless. If you can have the best culture of feedback ever. If something is, you know, if myself as a manager, if I as a manager just have got that, you know, carrying that luggage around with me for all these years,
yeah,
and I just don't realize what's preventing me from being able to actually provide that criticism in a way that is going to be useful, not critical, you know, to your point about having empathy.
Yeah. So this all comes, I'll put a bow around this.
Yeah.
And for me, and this is something I say every day to people, is you transform your personal life, you will transform your business life.
Correct.
You have to break through your own limited beliefs.
Right.
And your own biases to be able to influence others and inspire others and empower others. And
right.
It's a two-way street. It's not just one way. So that's my bow around it from my perspective.
Well, and I mean, that's exactly right. I would have said exactly the same thing, maybe with different words, but really, really the same thing. Right. So what do we think, you know, as we were talking about earlier, my feeling is, like I said, at a minimum, you do this performance reviews quarterly. But the reality is, you do the performance review whenever the performance review is required.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think it's ongoing feedback and coaching and mentoring. It's like any business. If you want to succeed in business, you can measure that business every year. You can measure that business every quarter. You can measure that business every week or every day. It depends on the urgency and how fast and how nimble and how agile you need to be. And that's what you need to do with the reviews as well. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Anything else we want to talk about on this point?
I think it's pretty good. I think that, you know, I think we've got some insight there that people can use. And the reality is that this is, let's be honest, this is not easy. This is and looking back at my career, it was always the toughest thing to do in some cases. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, God, I wish I didn't have to do this. You know, it's like, it's really not the easiest thing or the most fun, but it can be the most impactful. And especially for the ones getting the feedback. And that's what we really probably should leave this in and make sure that as you're getting this feedback, you're taking this in a positive stance where you want to be a lifelong learner and you want to learn from this feedback. So you want to lean into it and you want to say thank you and be grateful for that feedback, no matter what it is, and take a deep breath and make sure you're not reacting with just emotions, but you're looking at, you know, what does this really mean for me? And how can I learn from this? And then obviously, most importantly, show those results immediately and that you've made that change or pivot, whatever that attitude or whatever that thing you need to do that they point out, go ahead and demonstrate that and demonstrate that you've got a growth mindset. And that you are a learner for life.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, Rob. Well, this was a great first conversation. Thanks for listening to Authentically Successful After Hours. I'm your host, Carol Schultz.
And I'm your co-host, Rob Swimer. Hey, don't forget to click follow to hear more. And please leave us an honest review and rating so we can continue to improve and bring you more great stories.
Thanks again for listening, and see you next time.